I want to teach you a song that's from Latvia, but it's in English. Don't worry, you can sing it. I'll sing it the first time through, and then I'm going to ask you to join me the second time around. It goes like this. Open my eyes, I want to see your face. Show me your glory. Hear my heart's cry. My soul finds its rest in your presence, Abba Father. You are holy. You are worthy. Bring glory to your name. You are holy, you are worthy. I bring glory to your name. Let's try that together. We go. Open my eyes, I want to see your face. Show me your glory. Hear my heart's cry. My soul finds its rest in your presence, Abba Father. You are holy, you are worthy. I bring glory to your name. You are holy, you are worthy. I bring glory to your name. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. I want to see your face. Show me your glory. And hear my heart's cry. My soul finds its rest in your presence, Abba Father. You are holy, you are worthy. I bring glory to your name. You are holy, you are worthy. I bring glory to your name. So open my eyes, I want to see your face. Show me your glory.
I'm seated.
Before I share a little bit about my mission ministry, I want to share a few songs from a new album that just came out. And last year, I actually shared the theme song, which was called The Dusty Road, which was about the prodigal son and the waiting father. But I want to share a couple other songs from this album. How many know, and for the young people, the young adults, you've heard this already, but how many know that when we come to church, it's easy to put on the Christian face? You know what I'm saying? You come to church and you, hallelujah, praise God, bless God, God's good all the time God's good. And you got this image that everything's perfect, but in reality, it's not. You're hurting. You really are hurting, but no one knows. And I think since we are a family, a body, we should be willing to share, hey, I'm not doing good. I really need your help. And that was a thought behind this song called Sunday After Sunday. Sunday after Sunday, she powders her nose. She makes sure things are in place before she goes. Every Sunday morning, she will testify how the Lord's been good. Life is fine. She betrays herself as a woman of faith. Yet all this time, she fears her husband's rage. Underneath the makeup and the clothes are bruises she gets at home. But the people at church, they don't even know that she's hurting. They think she's perfect. Sunday after Sunday, he puts on his best, his favorite shirt and tie. He's neatly dressed. And every Sunday morning, he will sing along those great hymns of faith, the worship song. While he stands and sings Amazing Grace, his heart is haunted by fear, shame, and disgrace. A secret battle eats away at his soul, and the people at church, they don't even know that he's hurting. They think he's perfect. Why do we hide behind a facade when we never can fool the eyes of God? Sunday after Sunday, we sit in the pews. It could be me, or it could be you. The ones that are hurting, lost or confused. But we'll never know until we tell the truth. So let me be the first to stand and admit to you, I need your help, 'cause I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. Wake up in the morning, it's the start of another day. Forced to make decision now, which road I'm gonna take. Voices in my head, they battle back and forth. Inside my heart, there is a tug of war. And I find myself. Yes, I find myself. Caught in the middle. Oh, I find myself. Yes, I find myself. Caught in the middle. You set the standards, Lord, this world sets the trends. It's hard to take a stand, it's easy just to bend. What you have called wrong, this world now calls right. It's easy to give in, so hard to fight. And I find myself, yes, I find myself caught in the middle. Oh, I find myself, yes, I find myself caught in the middle. Holy Spirit, come, guide me. Let your word be a lamp unto my feet. When I find myself, when I find myself caught in the middle. Wake up in the morning, it's the start of another day. First to make decision now, which road you're gonna take. Voices in your head, do they battle back and forth? Inside your heart, is there a tug of war? Do you find yourself? Do you find yourself caught in the middle? Do you find yourself? Do you find yourself caught in the middle? When it feels like I won't make it, cause the strength I need is all gone, I humbly seek your face. Oh God of love and grace, I seek your face. And I'll find my strength renewed alone with you. Yes, I'll find my strength renewed alone with you. When my doubt and fears overwhelm me, and your perfect will I can't see, please put my heart at ease and help me to believe you're in control. And I'll find my faith renewed alone with you. Yes, I'll find my faith renewed alone with you. When I feel those times, my unworthiness, please remind me, Lord, of Calvary, how you died to make me whole. You're the lover of my soul, you've chosen me. And I'm reminded how much I'm loved alone with you. I'm reminded how much I'm loved alone with you. You remind me how much I'm loved when alone with you. Alone with you. When alone with you. When alone with you.
Let's clap for the Lord. He deserves it. Next slide, please. So last year, I had the privilege and honor of being here in Wichita, actually around this month. Next slide, please. And last year, my youngest Latvian son, Marcus, was here with me. And he really enjoyed you all. He has not stop talking about Wichita, of all places we've been to. And we were in New York, Chicago, and he goes, but Wichita, it's just different, you know. So you left a very deep impression. Now, What you don't know is after we left here, we had another stop in Nebraska. And on our way to Nebraska, we got into a terrible accident. Next slide. So we lost our car. We're in the middle of nowhere, Nebraska. And Mark's arm swelled up. My body was hurt, so we were taken to the ambulance to the hospital. And, you know, the parent part of me had to remain calm while Mark is, like, worried about me. I'm trying to keep calm because in my mind I'm going, okay, we have no car. We're going to the hospital in an ambulance. This is going to cost a lot, you know. And so we're in the hospital. They do x-rays, and praise God, there was no broken bones. So, okay, worry number one's taken care of, but the hospital bill, oh my gosh, Lord, and the ambulance bill, and wait a minute, they're going to release us, and where are we going? We don't know anywhere in nowhere, Nebraska. Well, Pastor Patrick was checking up on us and says, hey, blah, 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 what's going on? I said, well, here's the situation. So we were blessed with a hotel room in that nowhere, Nebraska. And what was great is the sheriff took us to the hotel, and we had a night to recover. And we were both suffering and in pain and all that, but again, no broken bones. So our car was towed. We had nowhere where it was. All our stuff was in the car. So the pastor that we were heading to, who was like 3 hours away, called up and says, well, I'll come down and pick you up. So we found out where the car was at, so we went to the car and got all our stuff, and that's why I took all these pictures. Not yet. Go back.
You're ruining the surprise.
So this is the first time I actually saw what happened to the car, because when you're in the accident, you're not really aware of what's happening. So we get all our stuff, and we're with the pastor driving to Nebraska, to Princeton, Nebraska. And the pastor says, you know, we just got this car for my wife, and now we have this car that's going to sit in the driveway, so we're going to just give it to you. Next slide. So we were given a 2010 Hyundai car. I call it Nibby for Nebraska, you know. And it's a no-throw car. It's basically a nice box with wheels. You know, you have to have two cars, one to open the car, one to start the car. You have to roll down the window manually, you know, no fancy, nothing. But when it came to gas, it was great on the gas. So everything fit in the car, and we were able to continue our tour all the way to the middle of November. So the Lord provided. So for those who need encouragement, when you think nothing makes sense, and God, how are you going to work through this? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, because he will do things you never expect. Next slide, please. So this evening I want to talk about sharing about reaching the spiritual orphans. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 15 to 17, Paul writes how we were adopted by the Lord, that his spirit now lives in us, that we can call God Abba Father. First, have you ever even just considered that you were adopted by the Lord? That you are not, you know, separated from him? Because at one time the scripture says that we were without God, without hope, alone in the world, that we were even enemies with God. But God demonstrated his love to us by sending Jesus to die for us, and has called us to be a part of his family. You are his sons and daughters. And when it says his spirit lives in you, do you realize you have his DNA in you? You have royal blood flowing through you. Understand, back in the Old Testament and New Testament, God dwelled in the tabernacle and in the temple. But guess what? You're now his tabernacle. You're now his temple. You might say you're his mobile home. You understand, when you leave church here, you know, when I grew up, we always called this God's house. Well, it's a place we come together to worship the Lord. But when we leave, God's not going, okay, see you Sunday, see you next Wednesday. You know, he's not staying behind. He lives in you. You are his home. Your heart is the inner sanctuary, the holies of holies. He dwells, lives in you. You're his. And we've been adopted now to be his ambassadors, to go and share, because there are many who do not know that they are loved by God. There are many who've never even heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Next slide, please. So This year marks two milestones for me. In 1985, I started doing ministry. I started with doing an album with Maranatha Music called High Tops. And on that album was a 14-year-old girl who would later become known as Crystal Lewis, a well-known Christian singer. And I was supposed to go on tour with the group, but the Lord had a different plan for me. How many know that you can make your plans, but God goes, watch, I have a different one. And, you know, takes you over here instead. Well, in my case, he took me over here to a place in Derby Acres, California, which is in the middle of nowhere, to a little church where the Lord would train me of what ministry was and wasn't. Because when I got there, I had this entertainment mentality that I was there to show how good I can sing and play the guitar. Now, understand, the church was a small little country church. The pastor was 20. The associate pastor was 19, I was 19, and the congregation was 40 on up. And the church, I call it the color church, because people had colors as last name. Brother and sister blue, brother and sister brown, brother and sister green, brother and sister white. And somehow they were all related, you know. So one day the pastor took me inside and sat me down and said, I do not need a ham-up singer. I need a humble servant. You're here to serve the people. They're not here to serve you. You're here to lead them to the throne of God, not to what you can do. If you can get that from your head to your heart, that you're here to serve, you will become a very powerful minister. So I took that to heart and began applying that I need to serve God's people. And in the last 40 years, I've seen the Lord transition my ministry from a worship leader to a recording artist, to a touring artist, to an author of a book, to all of a sudden I was preaching and speaking. And then he transitioned me into missions. And in 2010, which I laugh when you told that story, because Don McClure, you went to Don McClure. Okay, Don McClure, he was supposed to, at the end of the conference, people who wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit were to come up. And Don McClure was supposed to do that. But Don McClure looked at me and goes, you take my place. You pray for the people. I need to go pray for people, which ended up being you, right? You know? So I took Don's place so that he can minister to you. That's trippy. So anyway, as God's telling him about Kansas, after I left the conference, I was heading to Sheboygan. And I was driving this beat-up 1993 Aerostar van held by God glue and tape. And as I'm driving, the Lord says, you're going to have a son. And I'm driving like, no, I'm not. No, you're going to have a son. No, I'm not. First of all, I know there's nothing out there, you know. And look, Lord, I'm old. Now, back then, I was going to be 45. I'm going to be 60 in November. Ladies, the secret is oil of delay. It's great on the skin, by the way. So some of you got that. So I told the Lord, look, I'm old. I'm 45. You know, my house is clean. I'm a neat freak. Kids are messy. What am I going to do with kids? And dating stressed me out. I don't date, you know, because that means I got to find someone. And then that means I got to wait till what? How many years before I get engaged? And how many years do I get? I'll be old. The idea of having a kid, no, that ain't going to work, Lord. It doesn't fit my schedule. You're going to have a son. No, I'm not. And I start getting mad. I'm pounding the dashboard of the van, screaming, no, I'm not God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He spoke one more time. The voice tone was different and the wording was different. You shall have a son, mark my word. And it was like I got hit in the back of the head that I literally pulled the van over and sat there, was shaking. Pulled my calendar out, opened it up, April 24th, Saturday, wrote it down, you shall have a son. Closed the calendar, sat there and said, now I know why Sarah laughed, because I don't see this. Later that summer, I would go to Lafayette for the third time. And as I was there for that week, my heart was moved. Because for the first time, it wasn't a mission project. I saw the kids like sheep without a shepherd. You see, We went to Lafayette for one whole week, and we shared Jesus through English programs and music and crafts and sports, but then we're gone. So what happens the rest of the year? Who's there mentoring, discipling, leading them? And that ate at me. So I asked the Lord, well, maybe I should go back and help the school to host the Bible camp. I don't know what I'll do there, but maybe they'll need help. And they were willing, yeah, we could use help. So, okay, I'll go for 3 months. Yeah, that was 15 years ago. Next slide. So for the last 15 years, I've been serving as a chaplain and a Christian education teacher at a non-Christian public school. It's not a private school, not a Christian school. It's a public school, but the principal is a Christian. And she, when she was raised under the Soviet Union, was raised under scientific atheism. She was raised as an atheist, and she didn't believe there was a God. But she got saved later on, and her thing was, well, you know what? We were forced to hear there was no God. I want the kids to know that there is. Whether they believe in him or not, they will hear. So that school is the first place that 99% of those kids will ever hear about Jesus Christ, because 99% of those kids do not go to church. So my part as the chaplain, I lead morning devotions and teach Christian education, which to me, the morning devotion is our worship service, and a Christian education is our youth group or our Sunday school. This year, next slide, please, we used a ministry from, how many of you ever heard of Answers in Genesis, apologetic? We used something called the seven C's, which starts with creation, corruption, confusion, or no, catastrophe, confusion, Christ, cross, and consummation. Basically, from creation all the way to when Jesus returns. And what we wanted to do was not only teach this to the school for the Christian education class, but also teach it to the local church so we can somehow begin to connect the school to the church to let the kids know that if you want to know more, hey, come to church. So this was a powerful curriculum because the Christian education class is not a mandatory class. It's an elective class. And we do have kids who claim they're atheists. But what's funny is even the atheist kids come. And because this is filled with science stuff too, but backed up with biblical principle, some of the kids were now challenged, you know, because they're learning that creation really did happen. And what was funny, one girl a couple years ago, her name was Gabriella, who claimed she was an atheist. Every week she had different color hair. She would come to Christian education class. When I would do the class, I always start off with praise and worship before I do the lesson. So it's funny to watch an atheist girl sing Open the Eyes of My Heart. And the principal even went to her and says, you know, you don't have to go to this class. It's not mandatory. She goes, oh, it's okay. I don't mind hearing the old guy talk. And I asked the principal, you know, I don't get it. She actually does the lessons, you know, the questions. She goes, well, I don't believe in God, but if I was a Christian, she would answer the questions, you know. And the principal said, well, she was a believer. And her parents got divorced, and that's when she became an unbeliever. But what you're doing is just stirring what was sown a long time ago. Remember, God, through Paul in 1 Corinthians 3, says, one plants, one waters, but God makes it grow. And so I realized for some of these kids, I'm planting. For other kids, I'm watering. Sometimes manuring, and sometimes harvesting. But it is God and God alone that does the growth. I don't. No one else does, but he does. Next slide, please. And for the last 15 years, I've been blessed to serve at Gregor's Education Center, which this year celebrates 30 years of serving Lafayette and beyond. When the Soviet Union crumbled in 1991, all of a sudden churches that weren't destroyed opened up again. And what happened, people flocked to the churches, but there were no pastors there to lead them. So Gregor's was started to train people to be missionaries, Christian workers, pastors, and go back to their villages, their towns, or cities to evangelize. So my role there is more pastoral. Now, you might see me with the robe because the Lord has me in the Lutheran church. You just go wherever he sends you. That's how I see it. And so I'm probably the most Pentecostal Lutheran they have, you know. And it's kind of funny to walk in those robes too, you know, kind of swing the thing around. But you know what? But you know what? These guys, these pastors are spirit-filled, Bible-believing Lutherans. And they're great to hang out with. Sometimes they know the Bible more, you know. And so my role there is more pastoral, doing lectures, seminars, conferences. And we're international. We have people from all over the world come to us as we minister and encourage them and train them to be missionaries back wherever the Lord sends them to. I also serve at St. Martin's Lutheran Church once in a while. I'm the guest pastor or preacher, worship leader. Pastor Marks and Aya, his wife, and Pastor Ryman, like I said, are spirit-filled, Bible-believing Lutherans, and we believe in the power of prayer and in the power of the Holy Spirit. They believe in the gifts of the Spirit. And so what we have throughout the year is prayer and praise night, or deliverance prayer and praise. And people literally from all over Lafayette will come into the Lutheran Church, stand all the way to the end of the door, and wait to be prayed over. Now, we're not saying they come and the pastor goes, God bless you, God, no. It's lay hands, let's pray in the Spirit. If you need deliverance, you're going to get deliverance. If you need healing, you're going to get healing. If you need someone that you want saved, let's pray that they get saved. I mean, these guys are not playing. My role is to lead worship for those who are waiting. And I'll lead worship 3 to 4 hours straight, nonstop, maybe to sip water. And what's been a blessing to me is most of the people don't understand what I'm singing because I'm singing in English. But the pastors and the leadership do. And I've been told many times, every time you lead worship, the song you happen to sing fits the person we are praying over at that moment. Let's say they're facing fears, and all of a sudden you're singing, I fear not, Lord, because you're with me. Or they're facing this, and you're singing, Lord, you break down the walls. I mean, it's like you know what to sing right when we're praying for this person. And that's the Lord. That truly is the Lord. And what really blesses me is people who don't know what I'm singing, don't understand one word I'm saying or singing, come up to me and in broken English say, I do not know what you sang, but I knew who you were singing to, and I could feel it. I could feel it. Which lets me know music is universal and the Holy Spirit is not bound by a language. He can transcend. I also been serving the Salvation Army and jail ministry. The one thing I've learned about Salvation Army ministry and jail ministry, both here in the States and overseas, like I said, sometimes as Christians, we kind of put the Christian face on and smile and everything looks okay. But when you deal with people in Salvation Army or jail, you're dealing with people as they are, broken, wounded, hurting, but they know they need the Lord. And sometimes I get blessed being in these ministries because when they worship, they, you know, they sing with all their hearts. I mean, imagine you're in jail ministering to people that are there for life. They know they're there for life. But the joy of the Lord. And though they're locked up, they're free in Christ. And they know that he has forgiven them for what they did. So sometimes it blows my mind when I go and minister in these circles, in these places, because I'm dealing with real people, you know. And I also minister at a Baptist church. I saw that you guys are going through the Book of Mark. Yeah. We started the Book of Mark in 2017. We finished this year, finally. Now, you wonder, why did it take so long? Understand, first of all, Lafayette is the language it's spoken. I don't speak Lafayette, so I need a translator. And not every English word is translatable into Latvian. So I had to find a very easy Bible version to use. And I never like writing my message out, but I had to so that the translator can read ahead so that if there was any words they didn't know, they can ask me or find a word that was equivalent to it. So my home church back in Indianapolis, my pastor can go through 3 chapters in 1 hour, no problem. For us, it takes 45 minutes just to go through a paragraph because of translation. But they love what I do, and so they said, please stay. And so next we're going to go through the book of Galatians because it's shorter, you know. So next slide, please. The word missionary is not a word I came up with. It's been used, but the term means a missionary who uses music to communicate the gospel. And I did that here in America, but now I've been doing that literally all over the world. I've been blessed and honored the Lord opened door for me to minister throughout Eastern, Central, and Western Europe, Middle East, Asia countries, with my guitar. And sometimes, one thing I learned, people might forget the 30-minute, 45-minute sermon, but they won't forget the 3-minute catchy song. And if you can put a sermon into a song form that with a catchy hook, you're doing good. And I took that lesson from Carlos Westerlund, who was the school of ministry leader at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. And since then, I've been writing little sermons into songs. And so I've been blessed to go and be in every situation. I mean, imagine singing in a church that's 870 years old, still standing. You know, and I laugh thinking, well, Jeremy Camp and Phil Wickham can never come here because they're too loud to bring the building down, you know. I'm quiet enough that I can do this, you know. So, but it's really funny. And you know what's funny? Here in America, if you go to mainline churches, they're singing praise and worship songs. You know, they got used to it. You know, but understand, back in the 70s, you just didn't do that. I mean, for me, if I was to live back in the 70s and go to a Baptist church with my guitar, I would be looked at with big eyes, because back then it was either the organ or the piano. You didn't have guitars. Okay, but now it's normal. But back in Europe, churches that have been open for 800 plus years, they're not doing traditional worship, they're doing medieval worship. Hymns that are 900 years old and in dirge keys, you know. Lyrics that are happy, you know, the joy of the Lord, but they're in minor keys, you know, and chanting. And then here I come with the guitar, which, you know, it's funny to watch grandma's eyes pop out, you know. I've only been chewed out twice by grandmas, you know. The rest of the people like what I did, so. Next slide, please. Huh? Third time's a charm, right. On my website, there's a saying, Missionary to Latvia and Beyond. And Beyond happened when I started getting emails from India asking if I would teach their pastors online. And so I started doing that, and soon the group kept begging me to actually come in person. So I figured, okay, I can do this. So in 2020, before COVID hit, I went to India and did ministry there. Well, all of a sudden, the other pastors that saw me in India got my email. And so when I got back to Lafayette, they asked, hey, could you, you know, do our classes too? And somehow my ministry got into Pakistan. Next slide, please. So all of a sudden, I developed a relationship with SFC, which stands for Students for Christ in Pakistan. And they asked me to be the senior faculty member. Senior faculty member. I didn't realize that I was a senior already. But see, most of the people I work with are age 40 and under. And SFC has a powerful ministry where they do clothing, food, medical. They go to remote areas of Pakistan to share the gospel. Understand, India and Pakistan are not Christian friendly. In India, it's predominantly Hindu. Pakistan, predominantly Muslim. And if you become a believer, you really are doing it at your risk, because your family could shun you, beat you up, or kill you. See, when they become a believer, they really take to heart, lay down your life, pick up your cross, and follow Jesus. And they literally take it to heart that that's what they're doing, because many of them lost everything in the process to become a disciple of Jesus. SFC, my partnership, and right now they have been begging me to come there in person as well, and I'm praying about it, going there. But one of their powerful ministries, next slide, is they minister to slaves. Whenever a family gets into debt, they try to pay it off by making bricks by hand. And I was shocked that this was legal. But what happens is the whole family is involved. A child at age 4 to grandma at age 80 will be out in the boiling sun, getting dirty, getting mud, and making bricks and cooking them in these hot, hot ovens to pay off a loan they had to borrow. The trouble is, these loans never get paid off because the debtor adds interest on it, or they had to borrow again because something else happened. Next slide, please. So right now, on my table, there's a little sheet. We're helping them raise money for 7 families who are enslaved. And here's the thing. These families, and these are just some of the pictures I was able to get from them. The highest debt that's owed, $2,000. For some Americans, a check, and there you go, they're free. But understand, for Pakistani, $2,000 might as well be $100,000 in their economy. Yeah, it's different for them. So they sent me the list of the families, and here's what really got me. The longest family, there's two families that have been enslaved for 20 years. And the youngest, or the shortest is 5 years. And the debt from $2,000 to $900. So they're trying to raise support. And like I said, on my table, if you feel led, there's a little coupon that will tell you how you can help them. Next slide, please. And that's what the coupon looks like on the table. Next slide, please. So 15 years serving in Lafayette and beyond, my relationship with Spiritual Orphans Network, Sun Network, used to be known as East European Mission Network. And we changed the name because we realized we were dealing with spiritual orphans. In 2019, I was in Estonia sitting with pastors. Another pastor was with me. He was in his 70s. I was in my 50s. And these pastors, again, they were age 40 and under. And I won't forget, as we're sitting with these pastors, they almost had tears in their eyes. And they said, "You Americans, you've had grandma and grandpa, aunt and uncle, mom and dad who were believers, who lived the faith, taught you the faith, or led you to faith. We don't. There is no one before us. Communism reigned for 50 plus years. Christianity was outlawed for 50 years. There is no one before us. So who do we go to when we have questions about our faith? Who do we go to when our marriages are falling apart? We're pastors, but at times we wonder if we're even doing this right." And that's when we realized we were dealing with spiritual orphans. You see, after the fall of communism, there was this big evangelical push. People came to go to Russia, Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, and other post-Soviet countries and evangelize. And people became believers. But what happened? The missionaries left them with no training, no mentoring, no discipling. And many of these believers fell away. And the ones that held on, they said, "We felt like we were born again and then thrown into the water. And it's like, okay, now swim and we'll see you on the other side." And half of us didn't make it. We felt abandoned. But there's also other spiritual orphans. Next slide, please. Not only those who felt isolated after the fall of the Soviet Union, those who have no spiritual identity, those who feel that they've been rejected by people or that they think God's rejected them, those who have no church home. You see, in Latvia, many churches were physically destroyed by Soviet years, by the Soviet Union. So many of the families live in rural villages, rural countryside. There's no church there anymore for them to go to. They're isolated. And spiritual orphans are those even here, maybe even in this room, those who do not know the good news of new life in Jesus Christ, and that there's a Father in heaven that loves them and calls out to them and desires that they be a part of his family. So I've been serving with Spiritual Orphans Network, reaching the spiritual orphans. Next slide. With the adults, we do workshops, seminars, and conferences. The first-generation Christians coming alongside them, letting them know you are not alone. We are here. We will walk with you. Next slide. And our short-term mission trips. And I want to invite you to join me on one of these short-term mission trips. We have two types. One is Life and Adventure Camp, geared for young adults and teenagers. This is a camp that's 5 days. Basically, we rent a facility and we live life together. And we deal with real life issues that young people deal with today. How many know that the young generation are dealing with things us older people didn't deal with in school? Remember we got in trouble for having gum in school? Yeah, if the teacher caught you with gum, we had to throw it out in the trash can. Now today, kids are wondering who brought a gun to school. Today's generation are questioning everything. Right has become wrong, right has become right, or vice versa, or versa vice. You know, they don't know what is right anymore. So we take biblical principles and let them know what God has to say, because how many know God's word has and does not change? It remains the same. Society changes, trends changes, this change, that change, but God does not change. And what he said is what he means. Amen? So we go out there and minister at these camps, and these camps draw people from Albania, Slovakia, Latvia, Estonia. It's international, Germany, America. And what's cool about these camps are led by young adults and teenagers. Our team members are made up from people from around the country, from around USA, you know. So I encourage you guys to think about that. Or not, maybe come and join me on English Bible Camp. Next slide. That's more like a VBS. How many have ever done Vacation Bible School before? Okay. This will be like a VBS. We teach English using the Bible as the textbook, and we are in the public schools in post-Soviet Union countries. Now, grasp this for me. 50 years, these countries kicked God out. Now they're trying to bring him back in, into the school. While my country seems like they're trying to kick God out, let me tell you, you don't want to do that. You really don't want to do that. Even though these countries have been free for 30 plus years, they're still trying to figure out how to be an independent country. And many are still trying to figure out what life's all about. But how many know, as believers, we know that God's got a plan for our lives, right? Amen. So these Bible camps have been going on in Albania since 2017. Albania is predominantly a Muslim country. Slovakia since 2006. And in Latvia, where I'm at, 2005. This year, we celebrated 20 years of doing English Bible Camp in Strika School in Latvia. Next slide, please. And when we first began, the principal was not a Christian. She was open to the idea of English being taught, but she was very sketchy about Christianity because during Soviet years, Christianity was painted with, they just want your money, they will control you, you don't want that. Or she turned on the television and saw wacky Christians on TV. You know, she didn't want that either. So here comes these Christians from America, and she watched them like a hawk. And she was amazed how the Christians treated her students and her staff with such love and compassion. But she said, but what really got me was how they interacted with each other. Jesus said, they will know you're my disciple by the love you have for each other. And as we continued going to the school, she continued to be more open and open to the Lord till finally she opened her heart to the Lord and became an on-fire believer. Next slide, please. This year, we did a second camp in Sabele, Latvia. The town founded in 1252 AD. That's older than America. And that church right there was built in 1462. Still open, one of the rare churches that wasn't destroyed by the Soviet. And it's been a blessing to go and minister in Sabele, Latvia. Next slide. And our Bible camps have different themes: faith, hope, love, peace, trust. This year was courage in God, lessons from the life of Joshua. And even if we're dealing with an Old Testament character, we always tie the gospel, because how many know Jesus is seen in the Old Testament as well? And we tie Jesus all the time. So the kids basically, though they come to learn English, they're going to hear about Jesus one way or the other. Amen? So, I told you as I was driving to Sheboygan, God says he's going to have a son. And I came to Latvia and was reunited with a student I met in 2008 named Kristaps, who in 2008 drove me crazy. 2010, I reconnected with him. By this time, he's 12. Still drove me crazy. When I came back to Latvia in November of 2010, the principal thought I should be punished and placed me in his home. And they were my host family, Kristaps and his sister Liga. During the year, I found myself having to make rules for this house because the mom, she was overwhelmed. The kids did what they wanted. And I said, nuh-uh, nope, that ain't going to happen. And I made rules for the house. I realized I need to stay in that house and make these rules permanent. I'm supposed to come back February of 2011, but by February 2011, I realized, no, I can't leave. I've been in Kristaps and Liga's life 3 solid months every day, and for me to pull out now, I can't do that because the real dad is no longer in the picture. Grandma and grandpa just died, and for me to leave now would be the worst thing. I'll stay for 1 year. In May of 2011, the principal called me in the office. This time I wasn't in trouble. And and Christoph's teacher was in the room. I thought, oh my gosh, what did he do now, you know? The principal had a very serious look on her face. She sat me down. She put this paper right in front of me and says, this is Christoph's grade before you came to Latvia. And there were D's and F's, incomplete, bad attitude, I don't care. Then she put this other paper in front of me. And this is Christoph's grade since you've been in Latvia, in his school, in his home, and in his life. A, B, C, D, 1, F, he can fix. I'm going to say that there's a dad back in that home again who's put structure and boundaries back in that house. Because the teachers and I were talking and we've said, notice that Krista and Maliga are different now. Their mom is our school secretary on Tuesday. She used to come to school stressing out. She hasn't been stressing out. So whatever you're doing for this family, keep doing it because we've noticed the change. And all I've said is, all I've been doing for this family is loving them unconditionally. August of 2011, I realized I needed to come back to America to raise my support to stay there for one more year. And as I was getting ready to leave, Christoph, who was never a huggy type guy, came up and bear hugged me, whispered in my ears and said, thank you for everything you have done for my family, for treating my mother with utmost respect, for feeding us, clothing us, playing with us, spending time with us, but that most of all, thank you for being my father. And once he said that, I heard, I told you, you shall have a son. That my daughter says, well, why didn't God tell you about me? Baby girl, I said, I was having a hard time with the first one. If he was to tell me you were included, I would have crashed the van, you know. But then someone reminded me, hey, did you remember how God, the last time he changed the wording, you shall have a son, mark my word. And in 2014, Mark showed up and became part of the family. Next slide. So here's Christoph. When I first met him, and right before I came here to America, age 27, 6'3" or 6'4". One time we were worried about him, not anymore. And even at this age, he still calls me daddy. Not dad, not old man, not father, unless he's mad, but daddy. Next slide. My baby girl, Liga, who, even though she's 23, fiercely independent, strong-willed, I still see a little girl with ponytails. She's a teacher now at the very school I serve at. She's an English teacher. And I don't know, but for you parents that have grown kids, do you just sit there and just shake your head like, I can't believe I raised them, you know, or survived them, you know? And of course, the explanation point, the surprise child, next slide, please. Marcus, who gave me every gray hair that I color every month. Next slide. If you were to tell me 15 years ago, I would live in a country no one's ever heard of and love it, and that God would use me in ways I never dreamed of, or that I would raise three Latvians into adulthood, I would have laughed in your face. But I'm not laughing now. My daughter made the comment, just because we are adults now does not mean we don't need you. We need you all the more. You see, Dad, you're going to walk me down the aisle. And when we have kids, we want a grandpa for our kids. And understand, you're not an American to us anymore. You're one of us. You're laughing. You're just laughing chocolate. But most of all, Dad, when you die, you will die here. You will be buried here because this is now your home. So I want to close out with a song that's kind of become my model, and there's a slide for it. The Lord doesn't need a ham-up singer, but a humble servant. And my little model for my life, he didn't call me to be famous. He called me to be faithful. Seen your hand working in my life, and all you brought me through. Lord, you've been faithful and true. You stood with me through the thick and thin. You've been my everlasting friend. You have been faithful and true. You've been my strength in time of need. My hiding place that shelters me. Your love has captured my soul. When you took my broken heart and made it whole. Lord, my life to you I bring. I place it down at your feet. Help me be faithful to you. Lord, my love I pledge to you. And may my life bring glory to you. Help me be faithful to you. Help me be faithful. I want to be faithful. Help me be faithful to you.
Next slide, please.
So I want to say thank you, Calvary Chapel, Wichita, for allowing me to come back again and share with you my heart about my ministry in Lafayette and beyond. Next slide, please. And if you like any of the music I've done or so forth, there's wonderful coasters out there that can play music called CDs, as well as MP3s. It's been a blessing to record music and to watch it touch people I've never met or seen before. Next slide, please. And you can also stay in touch with me through internet and social media and so forth. So with that, I'm going to call Pastor Patrick up to dismiss us and bless us.
Lord, I want to lift up my brother. We've been reminded tonight that you do unlikely things. Man plans and you laugh. And we keep trying to plan and you keep laughing. Lord, you're so patient. Thank you for the places that you bring us, the ways that you use us that are so far beyond not just what we could do or accomplish in our strength, but what we could have conceived of or imagined. We thank you for the myriad of ministries that you've called David to. And as he continues his tour through America, Lord, would you bless him with travel and mercy? We should have prayed that last time. We remember to pray that this time. But Lord, even in accidents, even in pain, you're always working, you're always redeeming, you're always teaching, you're always building. Lord, we pray for Marcus as he considers a return trip to the States. Lord, open that door if that's from you. Close that door if you know that's not best. But Lord, continue to glorify your name in all of the places that you call David, and continue, Lord, to share your truth and your love in all of the places you call us. We are your missionaries, Lord. Every one of us is, as David said, your temple, your tabernacle. Where we go, you go. Guide and direct us, Lord. Give us boldness to speak, that many might come to know you. And that those who know you would be reminded that we're here to witness and to worship. Lord, teach us. Beckon us. Use us. In Jesus' name, amen.